Hello, everybody. This is Blake Ruby from San Antonio. It's a sunny Saturday afternoon here. The sun's going down, as usual, behind my backyard. And it's a hot day in the 90s. And I like it. I like the heat better than the cold. How about you? I know a lot of people prefer cold weather. I used to live up north in Canada, a former Canadian Canuck. Born in Canada, born in Barrie, Ontario. And my parents were English. You might not know a lot about me. And I'm going to try to tell you a little bit about me today on the show so you become more familiar with me. I don't know how many of you out there are listening to BBS Radio, Internet Radio, the shows. I'm trying to listen to some shows, other shows. I tuned into one yesterday, a lady, I don't even know what show it was. I seem to have a lot really on my hands, time-wise, things to do besides my work, you know, which 8-9 hours a day, Monday through Friday, and then Saturday and Sunday are taken up doing things, including napping. I just had a nap a while ago. And I put the dogs out this morning to the usual place where they can run around. That's a good thing. You know, I mentioned it on a prior show. If you have dogs, it's good to exercise them. Ultimately, if you can, if possible, let them run, because a dog that can run is a happy dog. And you want your dogs to be happy. They live longer lives, healthier lives. You know, running is what a dog loves to do. Our dogs, we've got three that I take out now. I've got a fourth one. He's getting old. He's starting to have seizures. And, well, they began actually about 4 or 5 months ago. My memory serves me correct. He's a black lab. He's about 140 pounds at the last amount of weight when he was weighed last. You know what I mean? And he's got gray hair all around his face. We don't know exactly how old he is because he's a rescue just like the other dogs. Shaka's his name. And so he's got these grand mal seizures that he has every once in a while, and they're very frightening to watch. But he's taking medicine. We have to find different ways of giving him medicine. The stuff that we buy from Walmart. And the other three dogs, I take them. I used to take all of them in the car. We'd pile in the car, go out to the Air Force Base, and we'd go this one route where there's no people and nobody around. Today there was somebody there walking their dogs, and two of the dogs ran up to them and kind of nosed their dogs and just a greeting and then ran back. They're not the aggressive, extremely aggressive type, which is a good thing. Although if they chase a little creature, as they've done before, a squirrel, skunk even, they've killed them before. They're terriers. One's a smooth fox, the other one's an American Pit Bull Terrier, and they can be very aggressive. Otherwise, here at home, they're loving, extremely loving. And anyway, so they love to run. They live to run. They love to sprint around, you know. One of them goes, the American Pit Bull Terrier is like the scout dog, and she'll go into the bushes, and she finds something, she'll bark, and the other dog will come running. And so they're always running around, sprinting here and there. They got out of the car. They saw a squirrel when we came into the place where we go. And they must have run, sprinted about 200 meters to back to where they'd seen it. Anyway, so walking the dog is just one of the tasks that I have to do in this house, to include washing and cleaning up after the dogs, feeding the dogs. We feed our dogs every night. They get either chicken or hamburger, turkey burger. They eat well. You know, I buy a package of skinless, boneless thighs or maybe breast, chicken breast, and that's $5 or $6 at HEB, or hamburger, maybe $7 to $8 a hamburger, $7 or $8 a hamburger at HEB. Turkey burgers about $7 to $8. Plus I buy dog food. I ordered some online, blue dog food. The big dog, now that he's taking his medicine, he eats the dog food. He barks when he's hungry, which is quite often. Even in the middle of the night, he'll bark, which is, I don't mind, because he can barely walk. And one way that he stays in touch with the reality, I think, is to bark. So, that's it. With dogs, let me move on. There's a lot to talk about. I have so many things I can talk about. I wanted to, as I mentioned, tell you a little bit about myself. And so that wasn't part of it. You know, here I live in San Antonio. This is who I am. I've mentioned on previous shows a little bit about myself. You know me, very spiritual person. My mother was a very spiritual person. She passed away in 1999. She was a Rosicrucian. I don't know if you've heard of them. They're a mystical order who originated in Egypt approximately 5,000 years ago. And they're very interested in the study of the human being, if you will, the aura, dreams, astral projection. And the life, they studied the life of Jesus. They say Jesus was one of the greatest mystics, you know. His ability to perform miracles was something worthy of study, you know, rather than not give it much thought as to how he did those miracles, you know, exactly what processes were involved, what knowledge he had to perform those miracles, you know. The Sermon on the Mount, as an example, where he all of a sudden turned, apparently, seemed to turn the two fish and, what was it, five loaves of bread into enough to feed 5,000 people, with even some left over, is worthy of thought, you know. Are you curious as to how he did that, rather than just like waving a magic wand, or God said it was okay, you know. Some people believe that Jesus was God, but then, personally, I don't believe that. I believe there's a difference between the Father and Jesus Christ. He died on the cross. And even Jesus in his prayer, our Father who taught us that prayer, the Lord's Prayer, our Father who art in heaven. So, therefore, if you believe that, logically, there has to be a Father besides Jesus. And I've talked about this in my show before. There's a book. If you're really interested, I'm going to talk about this in just 2 seconds, but if you're interested to learn who Jesus was and have an open mind, you can think outside the box. In other words, you're not set in your ways. You're willing to learn something new or even consider the possibility of something being true, like there being extraterrestrials out there, then read this book. And you can read a little bit about it online without having to order the book. It's called Abduction to the Ninth Planet. Abduction to the Ninth Planet, or the Thiaubun Prophecy. Thiaubun. I'll spell that for you. Thiaubun. It's Thiaubun. That's a planet in a Milky Way galaxy that supposedly is one of the three most advanced technologically and spiritually. Let me take a drink of water. Being a singer, I know when I have to take a drink of water, my throat kind of dries up. One of the three most technologically and spiritually advanced. They're hermaphrodites, large, very tall extraterrestrials, 9 feet tall, male and female, with long hair, either blonde platinum, brown, red, silver. Yes, they exist. They're out there. I've read that book 7 times. The author's name is Michael Desmarquette. He was abducted living in Australia back in the late 80s and taken aboard their spaceship, which is circular, approximately 70 meters in diameter. It's about a little over 200 feet in diameter. And they can travel around the universe in very quick fashion, suffice it to say, because they have mastered the art of anti-gravity. And not only that, they can go interdimensional, which means that they can go from the physical to the parallel universe. And once you can transcend this material reality into the spiritual reality, so to speak, you know, it's kind of like, it's just like a thought, really. Their spaceship is built in such a way where it can accommodate the disassembly and reassembly of molecules in both the spaceship and the inhabitants, and go into that dimension. It's like another dimension, you know, which is consistent with some of the theories that present-day physicians have regarding the superstring theory, for one, about there existing multiple dimensions and energy existing at its most basic form in the shape of little ribbons or strands of energy, which are no more than thoughts, actually. So how about that? What do you think of that? If you have a theory of everything, like Einstein was trying to come up with, he believed in gravity and electromagnetism as being the keys to discovering the theory of everything. And he sought that until the day he died trying to work it out with his pencil and the different equations. But he didn't see the total picture. And there were some physicists in the early 1920s that discovered the other two forces of the universe, the strong and the weak nuclear force, quantum mechanics, in other words. And Einstein recognized that it was they were valid forces. However, he didn't think that they were the key to discovering the key of everything. Well, I have come up with the theory of everything myself, and it's in my book, The Great Brain and the Golden Soul, in the Amazon Kindle bookstore, if you're interested. They won't charge you any money. I haven't received a penny from those royalties since I put it in there, but that's okay with me, really, because you can either believe it or not, accept it or not, what I say. What I've learned is mostly from other people, the books I've read, or my own reflection on certain things. I've had times when I've been able to piece things together, my reality system, that is, you know, like pieces of a jigsaw puzzle. You come to a dead end sometimes, and you have to conjecture as to what might be the right thing in regard to putting together where one piece of reality ends and another begins, when you don't know for sure what the answer is, you know, what's true or not. So for the theory of everything, as I mentioned, and I do believe in the superstring theory, you have ribbons of energy, tiny little vibrating at a certain frequency, different frequencies, strands of energy. And the whole universe is really nothing more than a giant intelligent thought. So, therefore, all matter at its inception is nothing more than a thought. How about that? So that's why it's important to be careful with what we think and say, because we have the ability to create with our words. And it says so in the Bible. For you Christians out there, and I consider myself mostly a Christian, but it said in the Bible, which is true, that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. That's what I love about the Bible. There's a lot of things that I believe are true. Now, some things aren't, and I won't go into those, because majority of what I've read in the Bible is an accurate historical account of what actually happened, I believe. Some things are not, and I won't go into those. I don't intend to offend anybody or shake their faith. But suffice it to say, I don't agree with everything in the Bible. And I know that some people do. Well, you have your opinion, you're entitled to your beliefs, and I'm entitled to mine. The only thing that matters, really, is what's true. And you know, with all the different religions in the world, and religion being a money-making business, there can only be one truth. We agree, I mean, we have to agree on that. There can only be one truth. If you want to say Christianity is the one and only true religion, then you go ahead and say that. That doesn't mean that your beliefs are stronger or you have more conviction of your beliefs than, say, a Muslim or someone who studies Buddhism, you know. That's why a lot of people have killed each other before in the past, because it's come down to, you know, I'm telling you, this is the way it is, and if you don't like it, I'm going to kill you. You know, that's a long way to be. That's not having an open mind. It's not resorting, resolving your differences diplomatically. And when that happens, when people don't resolve the differences, it's usually because they're not seeking the truth or not concerned about what is true. They're trying to defend a belief that's not true, and so therefore it ends up in violence and death, usually, and that's happened a lot in the past, throughout the centuries. Getting back to the theory of everything, so if the universe is a giant intelligent thought, and therefore we are all contributors to the creation of the universe with our individual words, it's like we are microcosms of the universe. For example, you've heard the expression, let there be light. Well, consider all the different elements in this world besides light. There's earth, there's wind, fire is associated with light, but there's other, you know, all the different elements like hydrogen, helium, so on, even the ones with more radiation, uranium, plutonium, on the periodic chart, consider all those elements. Well, water also, you could say, let there be water. And perhaps if you believed it enough, if you were, like in the movie Phenomenon with John Travolta, I was able to do things with his mind. Turned out later that he had a cancer in his brain, but and for a while his brain was kind of powerful, and he was able to use that power to perform acts of levitation or create things, if my memory serves me correct, about what happened in that movie. Very interesting movie. And I love John Travolta. He's a great actor. Just love him. He's a great guy. And so, in the beginning, before the Big Bang, according to my studies, there was only the Spirit of God, which existed, has always existed. Now, which is a hard concept to understand, to believe that there was no beginning and there was no ending to the Spirit of God. That concept of no beginning kind of blows my mind. I know it does most people. You have to think, well, when was God created? When was God born? You know, when did God come into existence? Well, God has always been in existence. And that's hard to understand with our finite material minds, if you will. Get into some pretty scary thinking, you know, which, like, which is why most people don't want to think this way. But still, true, it's a reality. You know, and depends on whether or not you can handle the truth, right? I mean, there's so many different things. It's the same thing with extraterrestrials. Can you handle that they're out there? Can you understand why they haven't made contact with us? Because they're a very hostile species. They're sitting back watching us. And the other reason they haven't made contact is because there has been ample, sufficient, plenty of evidence out there that they exist. If you would only research it a little bit, you'll see that there's tons of evidence out there. People who have had encounters with them. People will have seen UFOs, and you can't discount these people and think that they're crazy or they're trying to make some money as a result of that. Some people don't wish that it wouldn't have happened to them. Take Travis Walton, for example, in his book, Fire in the Sky, in the movie, too. When he was abducted and taken aboard a spaceship for 5 days, missing for 5 days, in the White Mountains of Arizona, I think, 1973. Most people are familiar with that story. And so it changed his life. And I saw the interview, interviews that he has had with people who have been curious about his experience, and he very emphatically says, I wish that this wouldn't have happened to me. A lot of people feel that way. Because they've got nothing but, excuse me, grief. Nothing but grief and trouble. But the fact is that it did happen to them, you know, and they've got a story to tell, and it's a very interesting story, and it has changed their life. And this is something that we can't ignore, the evidence that we can't ignore. Not only that, I mean, think of it in the past, the pyramids of Egypt, how they were put together. And I've seen shows on ancient aliens on the History Channel. Back 5,000 years ago, they didn't have, or supposedly they didn't have the technology we have today to have moved those blocks of stone, which weighed in excess of 50 tons, on top of each other, up to a height of approximately 300-400 feet off the ground, in a pyramid shape. It's impossible using rope and logs. And another example is Easter Island, those statues, those stone statues, and they weigh like 75 tons. And they were moved from one end of the island to the other. And I watched the show the other day examining just how they could have done that. And it was speculated as to them using logs, but there weren't any trees, or hardly many trees there on Easter Island, for them to have cut them down and used them as a method to roll the stones from one area of the island to another, let alone rope, making hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of meters of rope. So how did they do it? Anti-gravity. Excuse me. I'll drink some more water. Drink some water here. Anti-gravity, these extraterrestrials that have visited our civilizations in the past, not only Egypt and Easter Island, but also the Incas in Peru, you know, the Inca ruins, there's evidence there that some of these stones were put together with such precision, heavy, I mean, really heavy stones on top of each other, side by side. You could hardly set a piece of paper in between the cracks, piled on top of each other, and in a very beautiful way, you know, not just haphazardly. And in the Mayas, too, the Mayan ruins, Chichen Itza, Tulum, those ruins there. I went to the ruins of Tulum, and they've got one building there, one old pyramid-looking small pyramid kind of structure with a flat top. And they've got some writing, some pictures on the side of what looks like extraterrestrial beings from outer space piloting spaceships. And what I was told, for what they say, that is one of the platforms where they would land a flying saucer or some kind of spaceship back in those days. That was like 500-700 years ago at least. And the Mayans suddenly disappeared. And there's a lot of conjecture as to what happened to them. Some people say that they were taken away to another planet, airlifted, you know. The Spanish conquistadors came and kind of ruined their lives for a long time. Maybe they were given a choice to move away rather than be conquered by the Spaniards back then. That's a possibility. So all that evidence and the Nazca lines, those drawings on the ground in Peru, I'm sure you've seen those before. Not to mention the present day, more present day stuff that has happened with all the UFO encounters, Roswell. Everyone knows that Roswell happened, except the government's not releasing that information. And even up until today, you see that they release some videos of some fighter jets who encountered some flying saucers. And the Pentagon released those files. The FBI has a very popular, very much viewed document on their website from 1947. J. Edgar Hoover was the director of the FBI. There's a memo that was sent to him, I think, or he sent it to someone else about three spaceships being recovered at Roswell. And this is not fantasy, ladies and gentlemen. This is a real old document signed by the man himself that someone just didn't create. And that's the mode of thinking that some people take. You know, it's like they're atheists. I mean, atheists and agnostics, they exist out there. But from what I've noticed, that they're mainly concerned with taking the opposite stance of whatever someone believes. They automatically take the opposite stance. It's like you're watching a football game and you're between the Patriots and the Buffalo Bills, as an example. And you're a Patriot fan, although automatically, they've never watched football before, but all of a sudden they'll be a Bill fan just to take you on, you know, to engage you in a debate, to hear how strong you feel about something, to hear what you have to say to back up your beliefs. Some people are like that, which is a good thing. I see that as a good thing. But then again, if they live their whole lives that way and then they come to that one day at the end of their journey when they're on their deathbed, and they might realize all of a sudden that they haven't really found out a lot of truth, and they haven't professed their truth, and they're going to a place in the afterlife where all of a sudden there's this new reality that they could have discovered before, that maybe been more believing in some of the stuff that people said. You know, it's good to not only believe things, but also know. You have to bridge the gap sometimes between belief and knowledge. And that is beneficial because you don't want to leave this life and get to the next one and say, if only I had done this, if only I had known that, if only I had said that, I could have only been more kind people rather than challenge them with their beliefs. If I only had done this or that, the remorse, the regret I've heard from reading about people who have had real glimpses of the afterlife and have come back. I know so many people that has happened to. It's true. You can't discount their beliefs, especially when you see how it's changed their lives, you know. You can't be a cynic that way. That's part of evolution, is to get beyond that. And, you know, we're evolving. You need to get along with it. You know, you need to lift it up a notch. You know, get on with your spiritual life. That's why you're here. You could die on the highway tomorrow, my friend. It's a possibility. Many people do actually die in accidents. Not only, and the coronavirus, too. People are dying from that. Where did they all go? Huh? What do you think? Where did those people go? I know a lot of them, most of them are elderly, 65 plus years old. But it reminds me of this one song. And I don't know if you've heard of it. I'm a 60s person myself. I grew up in the 60s, and I listened to the Beatles and all these great songs that were coming out. There's one that goes like this. Let me see if I can sing it. Does anybody know where my old friend Abraham went? Then you tell me where he's gone. He treat a lot of people, but it seems a good day die young. And it goes on from Abraham. I don't know how he's talking about Abraham, because that happened a long time ago. But then he talks about John F. Kennedy, Robert Kennedy, Martin Luther King. He's saying, can you tell me where they're gone? They treat a lot of people, but it seems a good day die young. I just looked around, and they were gone. So, same with these people that died from the coronavirus. I mean, they were here. couple of months ago. Now 80,000 plus around the world, over a quarter of a million gone. Where'd they go? They were here. I mean, this time last year, gone, wiped out by some virus, disease. You know, kind of like the flu. That's one thing whenever I think about this coronavirus, I think we could have handled it differently. I just can't stop believing that it shouldn't have been this way. I mean, it seems to me, and I'm entitled to my opinion, but it seems there's not much talk about the ordinary flu. Are people coming down with the ordinary flu nowadays? Are they dying from that? I know it's not a pleasant thought, but I'm just wondering. You know, people come down with flu-like symptoms, the coughing, the congestion, the fever. You know, I've had it before. You've had it. You know what it's like. And then you take evasive action, you know, try not to let it go on for too long. You could take some over-the-counter medication. Then if necessary, you go to the doctor and get some antibiotics, and that usually clears it up. But nowadays, with this coronavirus happening, I haven't heard much about people coming down with the ordinary flu. It seems like if they come down with any flu-like symptoms whatsoever, if they have the flu, it's automatically the coronavirus. There's no other kind of flu out there at the present time. Am I right or am I wrong? And that's an interesting thing in and of itself, because essentially what that is saying is that they've labeled this any kind of flu that someone comes down with, the ordinary flu, the flu that I got last November, the flu that you've had before in the past. If you'd had it back then, it would have been, guess what? You've got the coronavirus. Oh, my God. I got the coronavirus. That devastating virus, they say, that originated in Wuhan, China. Oh, no. I'm going to die. Oh, no. It's different than the ordinary flu, but guess what? It's not, really. Might be a little more aggressive form of it, you know, and the media has blown it out of proportion. And they're reporting, and they're doing a good job reporting it, you know, and I must commend them for that. But you have to realize, too, with the media, that they're biased one way or another. They're either Democratic or they're Republican. So that's underlying everything they talk about. And you've seen that before. You know that's true. How can they report the news in a clear, unbiased way, whether it's about coronavirus or whatever they report news about? How can they report that in a truthful, straight, clear, objective way if they're biased one way or the other, Democratic or Republican? I ask you. Ah, good water. Dasani. I drink Dasani, ladies and gentlemen. Purified water. I like it better than any other kind of water. I used to drink Aquafina. One day I got a case of Aquafina, and it had a plasticky taste to it. Since then, I didn't buy any more. That was kind of like my other water, the only other water I liked. Here in Texas, they have Ozarka. I don't like that too much. Some of the other generic brands, you know, the grocery stores have their own brands. I don't like those. Don't like that water, but Dasani, that's my favorite water. Well, getting back to my theory of everything, as I mentioned, it's in my book. And so you out there, my friends, ladies and gentlemen, you are microcosms of the universe. And I noticed today, I was out there getting the dogs ready to go. And my neighbor across the street, some of the words that people speak, I mean, I can actually feel the power that they have. And if someone is more negative than positive, you know, if they speak a lot of negativity, I don't want to be judgmental in that regard. But some people, and you've heard the Bible talk about it, and other people might have said that people have can be wicked, you know, with the words they use. They might swear and say mean things and try to hurt you. Sticks and stones can hurt my bones, but names can never hurt me. I don't believe that's true. Word can hurt you. You've seen that before. It can actually ruin a person's life. The things that we say to them, you know, you have to be careful with our words because they have power. They're very act of the process of thinking and putting a word into to actualize a word, that process using the brain, the vocal cords, the larynx, the mouth to shape the words, it's all an incredible process. And you see that it's not always possible when some people get into older ages, you know, and they have Parkinson's disease or dementia. At that time, then they're not able to express themselves through words. So you see, it's not something to be taken for granted. We have to be careful with our words, because words do either destroy or create. And what do you choose to do, my friends, with your words? Are you a creator or a destroyer with your words? For those that destroy, there is nothing like the wrath of the creator out there, which you'll have to come face to face with one day in your future. I can guarantee you that. I've read about it, heard about it. So it behooves all of us to be careful with what we say, because one day we're going to go to that land where there is light. Oh, you might be wondering why my show is entitled God is on the Sun. Well, I've explained it before, and I'll explain it again, because I refer to the song by The Police. The Police were a great rock group from the 70s. They had many hit songs. They were awesome. Some of the songs that I came up with, my favorites are Walking on the Moon. Remember that one? Giant steps are what you take, walking on the moon. I hope my leg don't break, walking on the moon. Anyway, there was another song called Spirits in the Material World. Spirits in the Material World goes, there is no political solution to our troubled evolution. Got no faith in the Constitution. There is no bloody revolution. So I think the point was, you know, President, and they're English too, so I don't know why they were talking about America, although they're entitled to it, you know. They were entitled to voicing their opinion about Americans. Still, the point is, well, if you have faith in the Constitution, and you, like we do in the United States, and it's a very contentious subject, you know, people are very touchy when you talk about the Constitution, because it's the base for our beliefs here in the United States, for happiness, truth, justice, dignity, all that, you know. The Constitution is the founding print, it's the founding paperwork of the United States of America. But, and that's good. I'm not going to say anything bad about it, but you have to realize, too, that it was founded at a time when there was a bloody revolution. And the people at that time, although you may say they were inspired by God, they had no intention to create a document that could be used in that way that they had intended it for 200-300 years down the road, or even more than that, you know. That's what The Police were saying in their song. That's what I got out of it. But anyway, the main thing of their song was, we are spirits in the material world, so yeah, we are. You know, we have that light energy inside of us. We have a little piece of the creator, a little piece of omniscience and omnipotence within inside of us, my friends. It's called our spirit, and the brain of our spirit is the soul. Isn't that awesome? And the soul has our, it's a, like a light that's shining, a light bulb. And it has access to past lives and universal knowledge. And it does power the spirit. So when we cross over from this life to the next, you're going to find you're in a spirit form. You look around, and you look down at your body, and you're going to see it's shining. It could be, it goes from being either transparent or translucent, you know, translucent meaning being able to see partially through it, you know, shining with light. Could be, and it will be, all the colors of the rainbow, too, very beautiful, and have the same kind of characteristics as your physical body. And so it's made of light energy, billions of electrons, electrons, protons, neutrons, photons, that kind of thing. For those of you that don't know too much about quantum mechanics, most people do, that's basic knowledge. But anyway, my point is, we are beings of light energy. And when we transition from this existence to the next, then we are spirits. And we go then to a world where there is light, the source of light, the source of light for our solar system. Guess what? Welcome to our solar system. There are other planets in the solar system. Each planet was designed specifically for something. They're just not out there for looking good and no purpose whatsoever. There is possibly life in ways that we can't even think about. We have no idea about what might exist on these other planets. And they have different atmospheres. We know that. Some hardly have any atmosphere, but they were created and designed for a specific purpose. And there could be beings living on Venus, for example, despite the heat and the crushing pressure there. It's not impossible to say that the Creator created something, a being, a sentient being like ourselves, to be able to withstand that heat and pressure. It's possible. You got to say it's possible. Anyway, so heaven is the sun. And that's what I believe. And in my research, it's true. I've come to that conclusion after many years of study, research on this subject. Because the sun is not only the matrix of, hold on just a minute. One of our dogs is barking downstairs. I guess they thought that this knowledge that I'm sharing with you right now is too esoteric to share. And I might start thinking, okay, one of the dogs wants to come out. And then the barking's going to start because the neighbor's dog is at the tent. So anyway, let me see what happens here. Hold on, please.
Jesse's going to come out here and talk.
She didn't have to go pee-pee or do her thing, since she wanted to go out and bark at the other dog, the neighbor's dogs. But she does. They have a little game they play, chasing each other from one down one side of the fence to the other. So that's what I believe in. You know, with the sun being heaven. Because once we loose the confines of this earthly world, this material world, it's going to be totally different. I've got this book that I'd like to read a little bit from you, a little bit from it for you. And there's a lot of books out there about heaven if you're interested. And I think, and guess what? I haven't spent much time talking about myself like I was going to. I really wasn't going to dedicate much on this show to talking about the esoteric principles that I do, but I do talk about it. I'm not afraid to talk about this. I've got the courage to. And it doesn't bother me too much afterwards. I know that I can wake up in the middle of the night and think, why am I talking about this stuff, on my radio show? But then I think, well, go ahead and turn the TV on nowadays and look at all the negative fantasy violence movies. There's hundreds and thousands of really violent, evil kind of movies out there. Action movies with these action stars. A lot of killing, my friends. And then you're worried, I'm worried about talking about what I think heaven is like. It's like positive against negative, and that's the way it is on this world, it seems. There's a resistance to evolution that I have observed. Some people, they just don't want to grow. They want to stay in like the first grade or the second grade. They don't want to go on to the third grade or even the 12th grade and do college or university. They don't want to continue learning. They want to learn some things, but not other things. You know what I'm saying? Well, I don't know how many are out there of you who are listening to my show. There could be hundreds, thousands. That would be cool. I don't know. I know that I've seen some. I've seen all the shows that are on BBS Radio. Many thanks to BBS Radio. Shout out to them for the great things they're doing to benefit the world. And you know, all this great talk, all these wonderful words that you're using to create a better reality for the human beings on this planet. And God knows we need that help. You know, we kind of dug ourselves into a hole. I don't know if the damage that we've caused in the past is irreversible. I hope so. I believe so. I know so. All the war and killing that we had in the last century alone is enough to make you wonder. You know, World War One, World War Two, the Korean War, Vietnam War, Desert Storm, the Iraq War, all the other wars around the world that have gone on, the genocide, killing. And then you don't want to hear me talk about heaven or someone else talk about heaven, even if it might only be just their opinion. You still think that that's too hard to take, or you don't have the courage to listen to what I say because it's too esoteric and people don't talk about that kind of thing. It's taboo to talk about heaven and extraterrestrials. You'll go away and turn your TV on and watch the Expendables blow away hundreds of people and John Wick kill 150 people. I know John Wick, he killed three men with a pencil. I was like to have a pencil with jab in your neck. No, thank you. My point is, my show and other shows, but I was focused on my show, is focused on positive, uplifting stuff, the spirit, the call of the wild. Don't you feel it? Be who you are inside. You're a being of light, living a material existence. The object is to graduate in this world with honors. To do that, you have to, as I was mentioning, speak those good words. I know you're going to encounter a lot of negativity, but that's what this world is about. Guess what? We live in a world where all the animals eat each other. It's a constant competition going on out there, daily competition. And I had to adjust my opinion a little bit in regard to competition. Now, I think it's a good thing. In a way, I understand it has to go on. I'm looking forward to the sports players getting back going, you know, getting that competition, because it's good for our economy, for one thing, but also there's a lot of fellowship and camaraderie and friendship that can be derived from competition, as cutthroat as it can be sometimes, you know, and we see it obviously in our politics as well, but we need to get back to having stadiums full of people watching football, or arenas full of people watching basketball. I miss basketball. I read about it every day. The San Antonio Spurs. I've been a San Antonio Spurs fan for many years. I was on the edge of my seat when they won the 2014 championship against the Miami Heat. I can tell you all about that last game, that fifth game that they won. I know all about the San Antonio Spurs. I'm a big fan of the players. I know all the players. And I'm sorry that this had to happen, you know. But one has to take competition in context, you know. Not get too involved with it, you know. Don't get out of control. Don't say the wrong thing. Don't get mad at the referees. It's easy to do, right? I would read about the sports in the newspaper. I don't like watching it on television because it seems that, and tell me if I'm not mistaken, you don't feel the same way if you don't feel the same way. But television is like a time machine. I can get so involved, and I've seen it before with my own eyes, heard it with my own ears. It's like you can actually be transferred to that time and be a part of it, even though you know it's in the past. So that's not a good thing. That's what you call breaking the space-time continuum, which might be one of the reasons that things like a virus can come up out of nowhere and kill hundreds of thousands of people. You know, you don't want to break the space-time continuum. And I might be guilty of that myself, so I apologize to God if I did. You know, it's a possibility. You have to consider that, right? The logic that I presented was rational, yes? So anyway, going back to what I said, and I don't know how much time I have left here. Doug will tell me when I have 1 minute left, but let me get some more shout-outs, because I've talked about heaven before. I was going to read something, but I think I'm running short on time and I'm having a good time here talking about other stuff. And there's plenty of time for this on other shows. I've got a show next week. My show is weekly. Please join in. And I didn't have any guests, and I am remiss for not having looked at some of the emails that Doug sent me. Guests that I wanted to, some people that wanted to be a guest on my show. And I apologize for that. Now, I am a busy man, you know, getting along in age. 65, I'll be 66 in August. So other things have priority, but I will look at them. I've saved them in my emails. There's a bunch of them, right? So I will look at them later and ask you to be on my show. And as I think I said in the last show, water. I'd like I'm going to pick something that's really interesting. People that have had near-death experiences or experiences with angels or extraterrestrials or have some really good theories on everything. One show that I saw that's on BBS Radio is called The Ass-Whipping Truth. And how about that? That's a good way to describe what truth is like, actually. Husband and wife, I believe, seem to be a really cool couple. And possibly they could be a guest, you know. People like that, they have a list of, I read all their list of all the things they talk about, believe in, and I'm cool with that. It's really, really neat stuff, you know, that they talk about and what I talk about. So one thing let me tell you a little bit about myself. And I don't have I took my watch upstairs, but that's okay. When Doug says I have 1 minute, then I'll just end the show at that time. But a long time ago, when I was very young, at about 3 years old, I think, I was living in Canada, and I was with my parents. We went outside, it was a winter day, and there was some ice at the base of the stairs, and I slipped and had a really bad fall. And falls can kill people, you know. It's true. It happens all the time. And my feet came up, and I went down, and I stuck my right elbow out, and I jammed my neck and my back. I heard a crack, and I've heard it a few times in my life when that's happened. One time playing football, touch football, somebody clotheslined me. Same thing. My feet went up, came down. I didn't know of any other way protect my head from hitting the ground, you know, and getting a concussion, cracking my skull. So I put my right elbow out, and that same crack in my neck, in my back. Well, many years down the road, when I was in the Army, I went and had x-rays taken in my spine, and they found a crack in the spine, and a couple of the vertebrae, the lower fourth and fifth vertebrae, were misaligned. So I got a profile because I was in the Army for having to do sit-ups first and then push-ups. That was 1997. And then eventually I got a profile for not having to run. And all I had to do was a 2.5-mile walk. And my back then is still in the same shape it was. However, and I don't take any medication. I was given an opportunity to take anti-inflammatory drugs, but I don't like taking drugs because I don't like the way I feel when I do take drugs. Even when I'm sick, you know, I'll only take them if I absolutely have to. But having that back condition, I got 20% disability from the VA. Also, scoliosis, you know, that's a very sad reality. It's true. You didn't know that before. Well, now you know. Okay. Well, I've got 1 minute, my friends, and I know we all have our problems, but I was getting to a good end to that story. But anyway, I hope you've enjoyed everything I've talked about. And I wasn't saying anything negative about myself. I love myself. I'm all I have. So until the next show, I wish you all the best. Remember to say good things, please. I hope you do. I love you. I love everybody. We all should love each other. Love is the key, right? So take care. And here's the prayer that we all should be praying. That God bless us. May the Creator bless us. Everyone. See you next week. Bye-bye.